Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, January 28, 2015. A new rebel group is claiming responsibility for an attack in Maridi County in Western Equatorial State.
Now, at the top, we are over 200 members who are right now being sent in two bases, and the one under my command is the one which yesterday passed in Maridi.
And Roman Catholic bishops meeting in Juba call on both parties to end the fighting, saying there has been too much suffering.
The Holy Father voiced his hope for a common commitment on the part of individual governments and the international community to end every form of fighting, hatred, and violence, and to pursue reconciliation, peace, and the defense of the transcendent dignity of the person.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A new rebel group calling itself National Revolutionary Movement for the Salvation of South Sudan says its forces clashed with South Sudan Army last night in Maridi County, where two civilians were killed and one other person was injured. The group's commander, Major Lasuba Loduru Wongo, told South Sudan in Focus from a known location that his group is made up of 200 renegade SPLA soldiers who are fed up with how President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar have been handling the negotiations in Addis Ababa. Loduru says his group will name a leader to head the new rebellion and fight for what he calls liberation of South Sudan. We apologize for the quality of this audio.
We are SPLA officers who formed this new revolutionary movement. We are used to fight our own people, our own brothers, while people of South Sudan suffer from basic social services, health services not there, poor infrastructure. All people who look at all the money are taking all their children to the neighboring countries. They get their health services outside the country. While the poor South Sudanese people and the us in the army who are fighting this country, are defending this country, we are all suffering without any assistance at all.
Can you tell me the name of your group? Because it looks like this is a new group. What is the name of your group?
It's basically a revolutionary movement for national salvation for the people of South Sudan. And that is the name that we have come up with within this week.
You're calling yourself a revolutionary movement for the salvation of South Sudan. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
How many people are in this group?
We have a very big, now as I talk, we are over 200 members who are right now in different, in two bases. And the one under my command is the one which yesterday passed through Meridi. We were going to our base. We were attacked on the way as we were passing through.
And where is your base? You said you are passing Meridi going to your base. Where is your base?
We are connecting within South Sudan, exactly. We are connecting within South Sudan.
People in Meridi are saying the group that were shooting at civilians in Meridi yesterday were cattle keepers from Chuabet. Are you part of that group of cattle keepers?
No, we are not part of Chuabet cattle keepers. I think these are misinterpretations, and we actually fought with the security forces. We pushed them back, and when we realized we are already within the town, if we closed the town, we decided to trap the course of the population. We knew that this is a population area, a populated area with many civilians, so we cannot be able to operate there. So we moved out. But the fact is that we decided to form this group and then to fight with the government to ensure that we bring at least a society which is free and equal, the democratic principles, where everybody can enjoy and be able to develop his or her potentialities without hindrance.
And who is in charge of this group? Who is your leader?
Currently, since we started ourselves, we are going to have a meeting, and that's the reason why we are moving today. We are moving to a certain location so that we can sit down and decide to choose a leader that can be able to lead us in this long journey.
Are you part of the SPLM in opposition? Do you have any links with them?
We don't have links with them. The only links, we are actually fighting one enemy. We don't have a link with them. We are not contacting them. I have not contacted them. But the fact that I think the same current government will be the only linkage. But otherwise, The problem is that right now, the opposition, it has been a very good platform where people who are in South Sudan would join them so that they can work together to address the problem of the South Sudan. But unfortunately, right now, the extreme opposition have zeroed their discussions within the IGAD offices only on two things: positions, sharing power, and then looking at the problems of South Sudan from a one-party perspective.
That's Major Lasuba Loduru Wongo, the commander of a new movement called National Revolutionary Movement for the Salvation of South Sudan. Loduru is the former director for research at the South Sudan Ministry of Defense. He was speaking to me from an undisclosed location in South Sudan. South Sudan in Focus was unable to reach the commission of Maridi County to confirm the details about last night's shooting in the town. Five people were killed and three wounded when gunmen attacked a village in Abyei yesterday. The UN Force for Stabilization in Abyei spokesperson tells VOA fellow Nabil Biagio that armed Meseria herdsmen are suspected of being behind the attack.
Daniel Adekera is the spokesman for the UN Interim Security Force for Abyei, or UNISFA. He says the attack on Manten village was reported to his office at 11 in the morning yesterday.
We deployed a ground patrol to comb the area and possibly apprehend the culprits, but we were not able to locate them because of the terrain and because of the time lapse between when the incident took place and when it was reported to us. They are smart and they know the terrain, so once there's a gap between when the incident takes place and when the report is made, it's difficult to apprehend them. And this is one of the problems we have been trying to avoid.
Adekera says the raid bears the hallmarks of cattle rustling by Miseria herdsmen. The Miseria are loyal to Sudan and often clash with the majority Dinkangok in Abyei, who are loyal to South Sudan. Adekera says in spite of the long-running dispute between Khartoum and Juba over which country Abyei should belong to, he does not expect the attack to blow up into a major clash.
And the fact that sheep were carried away, it appears to be more of cattle rustling than the normal attack, which is a result of the conflict. And in most of the attacks we have, there are more of cattle rustling.
Nevertheless, Adekera says UNISFA has beefed up security in Abyei and taken steps to prevent further clashes between Miseria herdsmen and local Dinkas.
We created a temporary buffer zone to keep them away from coming into contact with each other. We also deploy patrols on strategic and possible places of contact.
Adekera says around this time of the year, the Miseria are moving with their cattle, looking for grazing land, and the two communities in Abyei often come into contact with each other.
Normally we have incidents of conflict during dry season because the Miseria obviously move southwards in search of water and grass, and that is when we normally have clashes.
But since last year, there has been less violence between the Miseria and the Dinka, says Adekera. He puts that down to the creation by UNISFA of buffer zones which prevent the nomadic Miseria from entering areas inhabited by the Ngok Dinka. A referendum was supposed to take place in 2011 to determine whether Abyei should be part of newly created South Sudan or remain part of Sudan. The vote did not take place because the two governments could not agree on who was eligible to vote in the referendum. In October last year, a unilateral referendum was organized by the Dinka community in Abyei to decide which country they should be part of. Those who voted in the referendum chose overwhelmingly to be part of South Sudan, but the results have not been recognized by either Juba or Khartoum or the international community. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
Roman Catholic bishops opened their annual conference today in Juba, where the religious leaders called on the Kiir administration and the rebels led by former Vice President Riek Machar to adhere to the recently signed Arusha agreement to work to immediately restore peace in the country. The bishops say the people of South Sudan have suffered long enough. Mungume Debs Rakarinj has this report for VOA from Juba.
Speaking at the opening session of the three-day meeting, Archbishop Charles Daniel Balvo, the Vatican's ambassador to Kenya and South Sudan, said that even the leader of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, is well aware of the plight of the South Sudanese people.
The Holy Father voiced his hope for a common commitment on the part of individual governments and the international community to end every form of fighting, hatred, and violence, and to pursue reconciliation, peace, and the defense of the transcendent dignity of the person.
Those indignities and human rights abuses are many, according to Monsignor Rocco Taban Musa, the Apostolic Administrator of the Catholic Diocese of Malakal, which covers Unity, Jonglei, and Upper Nile states, the three states hardest hit by the violence. He says thousands of people, especially women and children, have been traumatized by the events of the fighting. He remembers one story in particular.
What pained me very much is the one of that lady when she was telling me that when she was running, her baby was shot in her hand and the baby died, and she was running with a dead baby and she could not know what to do and could not throw the dead baby away. She has to run with the baby like that until where it was a little calm, and the baby was just buried in the middle of nowhere in the bush. Of course, that kind of burial place will never be remembered by the mother anymore.
The International Crisis Group estimates that at least 50,000 people have been killed since fighting broke out in Juba on December 15 in 2013. UN OCHA says more than 1.5 million people have been internally displaced by the fighting, while at least 500,000 other South Sudanese have fled neighboring countries, especially Uganda, Kenya, and Ethiopia. Musa says people are desperate for peace. Father Charles Abdu says the bishops recommend dialogue as the only way to end the more than 13 months of fighting.
It is also give us an opportunity, especially at this moment, to acknowledge the recent agreement signed in Arusha for the reunification of the SPLM political party. We see it as a positive move toward peace and reconciliation.
Delegates from the government, the rebels and SPLM party officials who were detained signed a 12-page agreement in Arusha, Tanzania, laying out key steps toward unifying the party. Archbishop Daniel Balvo says the church leadership supports efforts aimed at restoring stability in the country.
We must hope and pray that this agreement will lead to the national unity, reconciliation and peace that is so much desired for the benefit of all the citizens in South Sudan.
The agreement signed in Arusha last week acknowledged that the rift in the SPLM was, in two quotes, among the root causes of the conflict in the country, and that party leaders have, in two quotes, contributed to the emergence of the current crisis. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Meanwhile, members of the SPLM ruling party in Juba this week ratified the agreement reached last week in Arusha, Tanzania, to reunify the party. Members of the National Liberation Council, the main decision-making organ of the SPLM, approved the reunification agreement at a special meeting chaired by President Salva Kiir. But as Philip Thornaleu reports from Juba, there are already signs that not all the terms of the agreement will be implemented.
President Kiir urged the National Liberation Council, or NLC, to ratify the reunification agreement. He told the NLC that he sees the agreement as a key step towards ending the 13-month-old conflict in the country.
The intention of bringing this document before you is for endorsement, so that it is operationalized. The agreement will have to be operationalized so that it is workable.
But Mr. Kiir says parts of the agreement were amended before it was signed. In particular, he says he, rebel leader Riek Machar, and Denga Lor, who signed on behalf of senior SPLM officials who were detained when violence first broke out in South Sudan, inserted another word in the place of revocation in Clause 9. That clause deals with the reinstatement of party officials who were dismissed from their posts early on in the conflict.
We change it to reconsideration, not a revocation. These people are insisting on revocation because by revocation they must go back to their positions which they occupied prior to the conflict.
The signed copy of the agreement seen by South Sudan in Pokos still includes the word revocation. President Kiir says he may not allow all the officials who were dismissed from the SPLM to return to the party or to government.
Is it true that, you know, you commit a crime, kill people, destroy the property of the people, so that you are given a bigger position? It has become a fashion in South Sudan that if you won a position, you rebel. When you are returned tomorrow, you will be given a position. I don't think that, you know, I can continue doing this thing.
The NLC unanimously ratified the Arusha deal and authorized President Kiir to implement it. The agreement recognizes that rifts within SPLM are among the root causes of the ongoing conflict in South Sudan. It says reunification and reconciliation of the party are key to resolving the crisis, but it stresses that the talks in Arusha are just one step toward restoring peace in South Sudan. Vice President James Wanyika says that by rectifying the agreement, the NLC is showing that the government is determined to end the conflict that has claimed thousands of lives and displaced nearly 2 million people. Wani, who is vice chairman of the SPLM, says NLC members in government-controlled areas have to actively promote the agreement so that it can be successfully implemented.
We go from here, we become, as we are, the apostles of SPLM, to go out there and, you know, carry the message to the people, enlighten the people about this agreement. We cannot do it alone. I want to close by saying that we must end the war, comrades. If we don't end the war will end us.
For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleo in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a new fiber optic cable project should make internet service much more efficient in South Sudan. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what was your favorite childhood game?
Do I even remember? It is an African game. We used to call it Mavigivigi in Kinyarwanda. It was a girl's game. We used to just clap our hands and then jumping at the same time and then count from 10 to 100. So if you're at the one team is get to 100 before, then they are the winners.
My favorite childhood game, netball. I just love to exercise my body.
Football was, you know, something I loved playing around with my friends. We would go to fields, play football there. We forget about house chores and all that stuff.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations is welcoming yesterday's release of nearly 300 child soldiers by Cobra faction in South Sudan. The children are members of the South Sudan Democratic Army Cobra faction, whose leader David Yao Yao signed a peace deal with the government last year. As Charlton Doki reports from Juba, it is the first step in a major campaign by UNICEF to reintegrate about 3,000 child soldiers.
The chief of child protection at UNICEF South Sudan, Fatuma Ibrahim, describes the children's release as one of the largest demobilizations of children from armed groups in South Sudan. She says the children, between ages 11 and 17 years, looked relieved as they laid down their weapons.
I think the relief comes from the fact that they don't have to carry the guns anymore. They don't need to be part of the army anymore. One of the children who was interviewed, when he was asked, "Now that you've come out, how do you feel?" He said, "I'm not afraid." So that shows you what kind of situation they were in.
She says, though life must have been difficult for them, the children did not look underfed. Leila Zeroji, Special Representative of the Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflict, commended former rebel leader David Yao Yao for releasing the children. In a statement, Zeroji calls the demobilization a step in the right direction, but urges the armed group to release other child soldiers still in its ranks. Ibrahim says UNICEF will first carry out medical tests on the children to find out whether some of them are sick and require treatment. She says UNICEF will also provide counseling to children psychologically affected by the conflict.
They come into our care with the partners. Then they are provided what we call interim care services. They will be in a center where they will start receiving these initial services. But what is really important at that time is the registration we do for family tracing, because the main aim is to assist these children to return home.
Ibrahim says some children will be reunited with their families more quickly than others. She says it will be several months before a number of children are reunited with their families because they don't know where their families are residing. Some of the children have been fighting for the last 4 years. On top of that, Ibrahim says many former child soldiers have never attended school.
This is really the key issue for most of these children. When you interview them, they all say education. One of them said when he was interviewed by my colleague about 5 days ago, he said, "I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. For now, I just want to go to school."
Ibrahim says UNICEF will work with other organizations to provide skills training to older children so they can find jobs and take care of themselves. UNICEF officials estimate it will cost more than $2,300 for the next 2 years to release and reintegrate each South Sudanese child recruited into armed conflict. South Sudan is among 7 countries taking part in a campaign called Children Not Soldiers, which aims to end the recruitment and use of children by armed forces in conflict by the end of 2016. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Yesterday, we told you that lawmakers in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state have taken steps to impeach their governor. Today, members of the Legislative Assembly in western Bahr al-Ghazal state are lobbying to impeach their parliamentary speaker. They say he has not met the members of the parliament for more than a year. Michael Atit spoke to one of the state lawmakers and has this report from Washington.
Western Bahr al-Ghazal lawmaker Abraham Dimo says the state's parliamentary speaker, Andrea Mayara Cho, is never available to his job.
And in most cases, you find the speaker is staying in the village. Some of the government are taken by the officials of the assembly to him in the village to go and find them. He can stay there for a month, 2 months, 3 months. Assembly has stayed for holidays now. It's over a year now when the assembly is not reopened. We impeach him because he's not ready again to continue serving as a speaker.
Dimo says the speaker takes no action on the many crises happening in different parts of the state. He cited as an example of brutal ambush on Sunday, in which 11 people were killed and 4 others wounded, including the new commissioner of Raja County, Marodoma James Benjamin, Dimo says.
The parliament is supposed to, you know, to convene a sitting, set up the form, the parliamentary committee, to go and investigate. They have to move together with the security committee. They have to move together with the government. So this was ignored by, you know, by the Honorable Speaker.
A motion to impeach the Speaker is expected to be brought before the State Parliament this week. The motion requires a 2/3 majority to move forward, Dimo says.
The members of Parliament are 44, so the 2/3 majority of 44 is 29, who are supporting my motion, and that's why I move a motion. And eventually, the Speaker will be called to come and defend himself.
It will take 2 weeks before it is known if the action to impeach Mayar will succeed. Mayar declined to comment for this report. He says he will not speak to the media before he addresses his fellow lawmakers in the state assembly. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Washington.
South Sudan has signed a deal with Kenya to set up fiber optic cable connecting the two countries for telecommunications. South Sudanese officials say the move will not only boost communication but improve the country's infrastructure and trade. For VOA, Mungume Devs Rakarinj has this report from Juba.
The agreement was signed by Rebecca Joshua Okwachi, South Sudanese Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services, and her Kenyan counterpart, Fred Mathiang, in Nairobi over the weekend. Engineer Juma Stephen Luga, an undersecretary in the Ministry of Telecommunications, says the cable will be laid from Kenya's coastal town of Eldoret to Juba. Luga says once the project is completed, it will increase the speed of internet and cut in half South Sudan's cost of internet and communications service.
Paying bandwidth for the VSAT also is expensive. The traffic will go to Europe and from Europe come back to South Sudan. So this is how we are communicating currently. But using fiber, we can communicate direct to the region here without going to Europe.
He says the project will cost around $15 million. The World Bank is funding the upgrade. Luga says with fiber optic cable, South Sudanese will no longer have to travel to other continents for important medical consultations.
We can have a consultant in India also can do the work through this technology so that our doctors here can consult any doctor outside the country in US or in Europe, in India, for any medical operation even. It can be done online.
And fiber optic has other applications such as enabling video conferences. Luga says that will benefit the education sector.
A student can be in South Sudan and can study a university outside South Sudan. That is where they use fiber to access libraries, to access any information or the university. And even a lecturer can lecture outside the country in US or in Europe or somewhere else, and the student will be in South Sudan.
He says the fiber optic cable will be laid along the road network connecting South Sudan and Kenya, which will also be improved.
We are working together and coordinating with the Ministry of Road because road also will facilitate transportation of goods in and outside South Sudan.
Most goods coming to South Sudan from Kenya are carried through Uganda, covering long distances, which drives up the cost of most goods from Kenya. Luga says this project should be finished in 2 years. For VOA News, I am Mugume Devs Ruakarinj in Juba.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Heart Attack by Radio and Whistle. Listening to Radio and Whistle with that song, Heart Attack. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Please tune in again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.